This morning, we want to continue our series, and the question is what? What are you building your life on? Who do you think should ask that question? Everyone. I believe everyone needs to ask that, and I believe everybody really needs to know the answer to that. But how many of you know what we're going to read today? Jesus already gives us the answer. Amen?
Amen.
So if you're asking the question, what should you build your life on? Let me assure you, Jesus tells us what we are to build our lives on. And actually, this morning, we're going to read a part I really think is important because he's actually going to teach us how to live a blessed life. He's going to teach you what? How to live a... How many of you want to live a blessed life? I do. And he's going to give you 9 ways to live a blessed life. And today, we're only going to go over one. So we're going to be looking at these, and I really want to say to you, don't forget that what you're going to hear today are going to be countercultural, probably to most what you've ever heard, correct? It's not what the world's going to tell you, correct? What you're going to hear from Jesus will be total countercultural, but Jesus will use the word blessed, and he will use it 9 times. And last week, we defined blessed. It means a permanent, continual state of happiness, and it's not based on your feelings, and everyone said,
Amen.
Thank God for that, and it's actually not based on anything that's outside of you. Blessing is none of that. And then we understand that the Beatitudes, and I really want to make this clear, it's a path. What you're going to be reading today in this countercultural sermon that Jesus gives, it's a path, and it's also a pattern. So it's both things. It's this is how you are to live, and here's the pattern you need to live in order to receive the blessing so that you and I can live in the kingdom. And so we went over the pattern last week. You are, first of all, to live the beatitude. Second, you are to receive the blessing. And then third, we talked about as you're receiving the blessing, then you live in the kingdom. Amen?
Amen.
And so last week we went over that. And I don't know about you, but this is life-changing, really, when you think about the words of Christ. They really are life-changing. I like to call the Beatitudes the manifesto of the kingdom of God. Have you read the Humanist Manifesto? How many of you read the Humanist Manifesto? I have when I was in college. We're not talking about the Humanist Manifesto. We are talking about the Manifesto of Jesus Christ, which is the kingdom of God. And so in this, we see that Jesus is the one who actually teaches us how to enter into the kingdom and then how you are to live once you are in the kingdom. And that is called the Manifesto of Jesus Christ, or the Beatitudes. I want to remind you that these are not social. Sometimes people read these and they interpret it as a social gospel, but this is not a social gospel. And actually, this gospel that Jesus said is not easy to listen to. Amen?
Amen.
But the Beatitudes, and we defined these last week, really are godlike attitudes, amen, that come to us by us sharing in what? His divine nature. That's how it happens. Amen? And that is wonderful. And I always want to remind you that the blessings God gives you always works from the inside out and not the out. How many of you, if you try the outside in, it doesn't work? Most of us try that our whole life. It doesn't work. So the Beatitudes start with what? Inside you, and then they work themselves outside. Internal happiness in the Beatitude, as we've seen, he's going to grant it to who? Some of the most unlikely people. This is what I love. He's going to offer these Beatitudes to who? People who are bankrupt. He's going to offer it to people who are humble. He's going to offer it to people if you're sad, if you're discouraged, if you're hungry, if you're thirsty, if you're merciful, pure, if you're a peacemaker, if you've been persecuted, people have insulted you, welcome to the kingdom of God. Amen. So countercultural. Blows me away. And don't forget, it requires a work of one's heart. And I want to talk about that because I don't know about you, if it's a work of the heart, then you would think then as you're living life, then you have got to look inside. Amen? I don't know if you've taken that journey or not, but I want to encourage you to take it. But it's a hard journey. Actually, it's a lot harder to do the inside one than it is to do the outside one. Some people say, oh, the outside one is hard. The inside one is so much deeper than the outside one people live today. I was thinking about it. Why is it so hard? And I've come to the conclusion because you got to ask yourself hard questions. So I want to give you a few of them just in case you haven't gone there, or maybe some of you are just starting to go there. Here are some of the hard questions inside that I've asked anyways. Why don't I let people get close to me? That's a good question, amen? Why do you have walls inside? Why when someone gets close, you set up a wall? Why? Not just what is the wall, but why do we even set it up? Three, why can't you admit you struggle? Why can't you admit you have pain? Why can't you admit things are not going well for you? Have you answered all these in your life? Why are you driven by performance? Oh, that's a big one. Why do you go to work and think, I am my work? You might think that, but I'm asking you, why do you think you are what you do? How many of you figured all this out? Have you all figured all these out yet? These are tough, right? Because you got to go inside. I like this one. Why do you have impure thoughts? Why is it so hard for you to forgive people? How many of you figured all this out? You see, those answers are not where? They're never outside of you. The real answers to all of those questions are where? Inside of you. And I really want to encourage you, don't be afraid to go there. Yes, it is a journey, but it's a wonderful journey. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. So let's open up this morning and let's read Matthew 5, the beginning of this preaching. This is actually his longest preaching. It takes two chapters. It's his first sermon, and it's his longest sermon. And it's called the Sermon on the Mount. So let's open up to the Sermon on the Mount. Words of Jesus Christ, starting in verse 1. This is at the very beginning of his ministry. He just called his disciples. They've never heard him teach before. This is what they're going to hear. Then Jesus saw the crowds. And when he saw the crowd, he goes up to a mountainside and he sits down. He's a rabbi, don't forget, he's a rabbi. Traditional position of a rabbi would be to sit. His disciples come to him and he starts to teach them. And here's what he starts with. The first blessing. And the first blessing is what? Blessed are you who are poor in spirit. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. Wow. This is the word of the Lord. What a powerful beginning, wouldn't you say? You know, I wonder sometimes, why would he start with this one? You ever ask that question? Of all of them, why would he start with poor in spirit? It's a great question we have to ask. I want to give you the answer. Jesus knows that it is the fundamental characteristic of somebody who actually is going to get into the kingdom. How powerful is that? It's what the fundamental, primary one. Number two, Jesus knows if you're poor in spirit, this is where you'll find blessing. He knows, actually, if you're going to get into heaven, you must have this one. Wow. He's very clear, poor in spirit. This is where we have to admit, I'm broken. I need God. I realize I am spiritually empty. Wow. You see, a person who doesn't know that, what? Cannot go to heaven. That is how important this is. A person who not only can't see their own bankruptcy, actually, they can't even live the Christian life out. Amen? It's a powerful first teaching, but absolutely essential. How hard is that? I believe it's one of the hardest things a person could ever do. Would you not agree? This morning I've asked Keith Falter to come and share his internal journey with the Lord. Thanks, Keith.
My name is Keith, and I struggle with alcohol. While growing up, I was never taught how to be an adult. The only way that I could figure out how to deal with life was with alcohol. As my adult life progressed, so did my drinking. As an adult, I had a hard time looking inside myself and seeing areas in my life that I had a hard time admitting my weaknesses. My wife used to ask me, "Do you think you have a problem with alcohol?" My answer was always the same, "No, I do not." I thought I could cut down. I thought I could stop anytime. I thought I have a job and I have a family. I'm not a drunk that ruined his life and lost everything. Little did I know that my drinking caused me to become disconnected from my family, my job, and more importantly, God. I was filled with denial about my drinking, and the denial turned into lies. I lied to everyone I came in contact with. Eventually, I started to see the beginning stages of losing everything. I finally admitted that I was powerless over my addiction and compulsive behaviors, that my life had become completely unmanageable. I knew that nothing good lived in me and in my sinful nature. Now I am on the road to recovery and experiencing true joy and contentment. It has not been easy, but I would never exchange what God has done for me.
Woo! Wow! Woo! Is that awesome? Wow, it's awesome. Thanks for sharing your struggle with us, Keith. But Keith, I want you to know, you are a blessed man. You know he's blessed. Why? He's poor in spirit. And I'm grateful for his poverty. Amen? Thank you, Keith, for sharing that. You see, when you look at poor in spirit, I checked out this word, and actually what Keith just did was poor. You see, actually what it means is, I looked up in the Greek, tosos, and it actually means to cower. Tosos means poor in spirit. You tower, and it means you cringe. It actually means you're a beggar. You are a beggar. That's what it means. Wow is right. You have no wealth. You have no influence over anybody. You have no power over anybody. You have no honor. You have no respect. You are nothing. You are ragged. Wow. You are totally dependent. If you're a beggar, take a look at this. How many of a picture tells a thousand words? You see this beggar? He is what? Totally dependent on somebody else to give him what he needs. This man has what? No resources of his own. This man is a beggar. Who are you? Hopefully you would say, Pastor, I am a beggar. Hopefully you could say you're a beggar. It all starts with being a beggar. I love this picture. I see myself here. Although sometimes I've struggled with that picture because I probably would have said for a long time, I don't know if I'm fully a beggar. Maybe I'm not that bad. How wrong was I? In my struggle, the truth is what? I am fully a beggar. Wow. How many of you have been on that journey? You didn't want to fully admit it. So you said, oh, I can't be that bad. Then you're not there yet. Wow. You see, Jesus knows this, right? And Jesus, that's why this is Jesus' first point. It all starts. It all starts with what? God and you being poor in spirit. And don't forget, this is not poverty where? On the outside of you. This is poverty where? Inside of you. How many of you have a difficult time admitting that? Oh, Lord, do I have to admit that? If you want to go to heaven. Yes. A poverty, it's an internal condition. Does this not blow you away? You see, when Jesus says you're poor in spirit, he's actually saying you have to see yourself this way. You have to see yourself as what? I am empty. I am poor. I am bankrupt. And you cannot contribute zero. You have nothing to give for you to get to heaven. You have what? Nothing. You have zero to offer. Wow. And if you can get there, you are blessed. Amen. You are like the beggar. I am the beggar. When I'm able to say this, now I'm qualified to be blessed. But if I cannot say this, I am not qualified to walk in that blessing. How many think this totally blew the crowd away? I am sure they were in total, maybe you're here today and you're in total shock. Gee, I didn't know Jesus said that. Oh yes, he said it. You must be poor in spirit. You see, when you're like the beggar, you know what? I need God's grace. Because I don't have God's grace. You need grace from where? It is not inside of you, correct? The grace of God is where? Outside of you. You're the beggar. It's outside. Why? Because you know you're destitute, you're the beggar, you're helpless, and you're totally dependent. And blessed is Keith Falta, who can get up in front of the church and admit it. And we say, thank you, God, for the blessing that God has worked in Keith Falta's life. Wow, what a great lesson. I love this. Actually, one of my songs I sing sometimes is, well, honey, where's my wife? Is she? Who knows the song, honey, I am lost. I'm lost without you. How does that song go? I am lost Lee, how's it go? I am lost. I'm desperate for you. I'm lost without you. I'm desperate. Don't you love to sing that song? Actually, when I sing it, I want to drop to my knees. I'm not even sure I can stand when I'm singing that one because I'm so empty. I'm so destitute. I want to fall to my knees. Wow. You see, poor in spirit, and I want to be clear, is a very difficult way to view yourself because it kicks up against your self-sufficiency. It kicks up against your own self-reliance. I can do this on my own. Yes. Wow. Yet, the first message Jesus gives is what? Poor in spirit. You must admit you're a beggar. You must admit inside of you there is no good. That is the beginning. I was thinking about those people who were there listening to Jesus. A great crowd was there listening to him preach. You see, they thought they had salvation by their own self-righteousness. That must have been a shock to them, huh? They actually thought, I can work my way to heaven. If I do enough good, I'm going to heaven. Jesus goes, totally wrong. You're never getting there that way. You must be bankrupt. Whoa. You see, I figure it's, what would stop a person from this? And you all know the answer. Most people, you know. If I said, poor in spirit, what would stop you? You would all tell me the number one reason that would stop you is what?
Pride.
Pride in what? Yourself. That's absolutely right. I believe it's the number one reason. It's pride. It's you. How many have figured that out? It's you. It's your pride. How destructive it is. I was thinking about this week because I can see myself in this. Imagine a person who goes like this, who believes this. When I'm in trouble, I'll pick myself up by the bootstraps of my own boots. That's what they what? Think. And actually, if you think that way, and you even talk that way, because some people do. I hear this a lot from people. I'll get myself out. Wow. You see, if you said words like that, you actually think those are nice things to say. You actually believe those are the right things to say. You actually believe those are good qualities in you. Correct? That's what you think. That's what I think. I go, hey, yeah, isn't that the way everyone should be? Isn't everyone supposed to walk with this pride and I can do this myself? Jesus says what? Absolutely not. But I think of the deception that is there. I was reading Proverbs 16:5, and in here, God says, the Lord hates your pride. He sees it in your heart. He actually detests you. The Bible actually says, God says, you're really not blessed with your attitude. From God's perspective, you are. Have you ever read the Bible? Read your Bible there. The Bible says what? Proverbs 16:5. You're not blessed. Who has it? Nate, you got it? Proverbs 16:5. You're not blessed. What are you then if you're not blessed? You're what? You're an abomination. You're cursed. You are cursed if that's your attitude. Wow. And not only are you cursed, God says, but he says, and your pride will not go unpunished by me. What you think is good, I am going to punish you for. How many think that should be a wake-up call? You would think a man would say, whoa, wake up. But how many know some people could say, no way. I'm living the way I think is right. Have you ever done this? Let's get honest. Wow. Boy, you see, I think the Beatitudes of Jesus really offer us a great lesson, but hard to discover, and that is you don't live life based on how you look at yourself. Correct? Don't live that way. I think this. We're not asking you what you think. We live life based on what? What God says, and not you. How many of you are there? I know that's a long journey. I'm not saying it's a short journey, but I want to tell you. That is the truth. The question is not what you think about yourself. The question is, what does God think about you? And that is, you got to stop being so selfish. You got to stop looking at yourself so much. Looking at yourself, you will never be poor in spirit. Wow. I'm telling you, I'm sure that must have blown them away. Especially when Jesus said, blessed are you when you're poor in spirit. And the other guy's thinking, no, blessed is I who says I can get out of this myself. No, you're not blessed, you're cursed. Wow. I don't know about you, but I think in that crowd, I would have been totally blown away by what Jesus Christ had to say. But you know, I love to look at these guys because these are the guys who were there. You see them? The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the religious leaders. Look at the picture. To me, this is a picture of people stubbornly holding on to my self-importance. Oh, I hear Jesus, but what I think is much important than what Jesus thinks. And I'm going to keep holding on to my ideas of how I view life. And this Jesus stuff, no big deal. Do you see him? Maybe it's you. You see, they're clutching on to self-importance, correct? Have you? I'm really important. You clutch on to, I can work my way into heaven. You clutch on to, and I love this one, self-morality. How many understand? Self-morality. You know what self-morality is? You determine your morality. And based on what you think, you're going to get into heaven or not. They're clutching on the self-morality. Jesus is saying what? No way. You're not getting in. Wow. Amazing. Poor in spirit. And this is where it all begins. If you want to enter the kingdom of heaven, it's not these guys that are going to get you there. Or their attitudes, or your own. Here's the real picture. I love this picture. This picture tells 1,000 words. You see this guy on the left, screaming, crying. Wow. This man here, see, he sees himself with filthy rags on, doesn't he? See, this man actually knows he's broken. You see this man here? He actually knows he's not worthy to get into heaven. Compare the two pictures. This guy actually has a right diagnosis of who he really is. And all God's people said, amen. He's right. He now diagnoses himself correctly. Wow. Psalm 52:17. I think of this, and I want you to memorize this. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. Let's say that together. the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart. How many know your scriptures? A broken and a contrite heart, what? God will not despise. Do you understand? He won't despise that heart. He actually loves that heart. Because the man has come to a right conclusion about who he is. Wow. You see, I think until a person is poor in spirit, Jesus is never really seen for who he really is. And all God's people said. Amen. Unless you see your own spiritual bankruptcy, you can never understand, ever understand, the value of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said. When a person can't see Jesus' matchless worth until he understands to the full extent that he is worthless. And all God's people said.
Amen.
Only the person who sees themselves clothed in filthy rags, he is the only one that can see the righteous rag, the righteousness of God being put on him. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Who can receive that? Only the man who sees his unworthiness can see the worthiness of God and what Christ is offering us. Only that man can receive it. Again, it's what? Totally countercultural. Totally opposite the way most people think. You see, basically, until you're poor, you can't be rich. All God's people said.
Amen.
Until you're a fool, you can't be wise. All God's people said. Until you lose your life, you have no way of going to heaven. This whole sermon was totally countercultural. Wow. I love that picture. And I want to be clear. Let's go to number two. We are talking about what kind of poverty? Jesus calls it what? Poor in. He is not talking about poor in materialism. Correct? He's not talking about whether you're rich or poor on the outside. How many of you know you could have a rich man who's got a lot of material things? How many of you know that man could be poor in spirit? Correct? How many of you know you could have a poor person that doesn't even have any money to give or barely getting by? And how many of you know that person could be filled with pride and arrogance? Do you understand that? Why? Because Jesus is not talking about material. He doesn't say, blessed are those who have material. He said, blessed are those who are, what, poor in spirit. He's looking at the inward person, not the outward. Wow. Open up your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke chapter 18, because this story, to me, makes it. Not only did he preach the Beatitudes, but when I look at what Jesus says in Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14, this story totally confirms what Jesus was actually saying. In Luke 18, 9, Jesus says, I want to tell you a parable about two men. Who are the two men? I want to tell you a story about a Pharisee. And I want to tell you a story about two people. Now, he says in the story, as he's given the parable, he says, now, both of these men go to the temple. He says that in verse 9. Both go to the temple. They pray out loud, and they even give. Wow. So from the outside, the Pharisee looks what? Wouldn't you think he looks good? Man, you say, that guy's got it all.
He looks really, really good. He goes to temple, he gives. He reads his Bible, he looks really, really good.
Well, what's Jesus going to say about that guy? He's not good. He's not good. Because Jesus is not looking at the outside of him, right? Oh, look where he went. No, Jesus is looking where? No, look who you are. I'm not looking, you give, did you, did that? No, I'm not looking at it. I'm looking at in you, brother. Wow. And what does Jesus see in that man? He says, well, the man is self-righteous. I love this. I love this because this is what we do today. The Pharisee says these horrible words that I pray none of you ever say. Let's read the horrible words. It's in verse 11. The Pharisee says what? God, I thank you that I am not like that man. Whoa, that man is cursed. He's not blessed. Or maybe you said that when Keith got up here. Oh, thank God I'm not like Keith Falta. Yeah, you're just like the Pharisee. You see, you haven't understood and seen your own sinfulness because you are just as bad. Correct? Boy, what a wake-up call. What a wake-up call. And then this man is not going to heaven. Correct? I do not see the righteousness of God in him. He is not going. But then he looks at the tax collector. Now, the tax collector, I love verse 13. Now, the tax collector, he's going to the temple too, but what does it say there about this guy? Read the verse. What does he say, Donna, in verse 13? This man, the tax collector, the bad guy, says he what?
He would not even look up to heaven.
He is not even looking up to heaven. Oh, my goodness. The other guy said, hey, I'm all good. I'm getting in. The tax collector says, I can't even look up to God. I am so wicked. Wow, what a contrast here, huh? I'm a wicked man. And then as he looks at himself, he says these powerful words. Verse 13. What? Read them. Because this is our heart. This is the heart of poor in spirit. What's the heart of poor in spirit? What?
God have mercy
on me. The Pharisees say, hey, I deserve to get in. The tax collector says, I can't even look up to God. I am totally unworthy. You are the blessed man. You want to talk about a turnaround. You want to talk about the kingdom of God and how Jesus turned the world upside down? Oh, my goodness. Did he not turn the world upside down? But I want to say this. I've come to this myself. Think about this. Meditate on this. It's a high cost to be poor in spirit. It's what? It's not cheap. He's poor in spirit, the poor guy. Let me tell you something. If a person is poor in spirit, let me tell you something. God has done a work in that man's character. And it hasn't come cheaply. It is not a weakness. It is actually the strength of God. What a turnaround. Wow. It's not easy, and it's not cheap. It's a strength of character. Open up your Bible to Luke 5. Another story. This is the story of Peter. It's a story where Peter meets Jesus Christ for the very first time. Jesus is preaching. Jesus goes over to the Sea of Galilee. He sees Peter in the boat. And in Luke 5, he tells Peter, verse 3, 5, 5, 3, he says, Peter, I want you to do three things. Now, don't forget, Peter doesn't know who Jesus is. So Jesus says to Peter, verse 3, could you take your boat just a little bit off the shore here? Would you do it? Then Jesus looks at him and says, after a while, hey, let's go out a little bit deeper. Would you do it? Then Jesus says, when they're out there and they haven't caught fish all day, Peter, put down your nets now. And Peter is like, hey, who are you? You're a carpenter. I'm a fisherman. I've been fishing all day. Who do you think you are to tell me? The carpenter telling the fisherman how to fish? No, no, I'm not going to listen to you. I believe that was in the heart of Peter. I do. At first, I believe what? That's what you call what? Pride and arrogance, because he's going to do it his way. There's no poor in spirit in him. He wants to live life his way, and he's going to do it the way he wants. But what happens? What happens when he obeys and he puts down the net? And then it's loaded with fish. You see, Peter now realizes he's in the presence of the Son of God. Peter realizes this is the Messiah of the world. Peter says, look at his holiness. I see his power. And tell me what Peter does. He is at this point poor in spirit. How do I know that? You just listen to his words. What does he say? Read your Bible. Luke 5. Lord, get away from me, for I am a wicked, wicked man. See, why? Why did he figure out he was wicked? Now, see, he's seen Christ for who he really is. And I want to say the same thing to you. Until we can really see Christ for who he is, we still live for ourselves. Wow. Oh, I don't know. And I want to say this too, and I really, if not only is it a way for you to get into, how many of you know the basic requirement for you to get into heaven is what? No, poor in spirit. And if you're living your life by poor in spirit, this ability to admit all your sinfulness, what's going to happen to it? Do you know, Mayor? What would happen if you get this? What's going to happen now as you're walking with Christ? What's going to happen? Huh? Transformation, and you're going to see more of your sinfulness. Oh, people, I know it shocks people. I accepted Christ, and all of a sudden I'm sinning everywhere. Yes. 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 You got it. You're more wicked than you ever thought you were. Thank God you're seeing it. Right? Why? Because you're walking. Now, how many know you can be a Christian and then say, oh, no, I'm not going to stay close to him. Guess what? You'll walk and someone will say, oh, I'm a wicked person. You'll go, oh, thank God I'm not like them. Correct? And why? Because you're really not walking close. Correct? I don't know about you, but that blows me away. I go like, oh, my goodness. Be quick to admit it then. I want to remind you that it's a daily walk with the Lord. Amen? Amen. All right. How much time? We got? Oh, I want to give you a quick quiz. Quick. Take out a pen. Here's how you'll figure it out. Are you poor in spirit? Answer these five questions. You ready? Just quickly answer them. Number one, if you want to find out if you are. Number one, how much confidence do you have in your own strength to get yourself out of the current problem you're in? What would y'all say? All right, none? Good. Number two, how much confidence that you have in your own wisdom that as you're looking at a difficulty, you can figure it out? Donna's over here telling me none. I don't know if that's everyone's answer. Thank you, Donna. Donna said I have none. Number three, how much confidence do you have in yourself? Oh, I love this one, because this is my big one. to make things happen yourself. I can get the job promotion. I can get the, I can do that. How much confidence do you have that you can do that? Good question. Number four, big one. How hard have you been making yourself presentable so that you look good? How hard do you work at that? Number five, how hard is it for you to admit your struggles? Thank God for Cindy Falta. Lost a baby 10 years ago, broke her heart. She gets up here and confesses it to you. I've been struggling. The woman is what? Blessed of God.
Amen.
And others say, oh, I'm so glad that never happened to me. See yourself from the eyes of God, not your own view. Amen? All right. Here's what I want to say. When a person is poor in spirit, how many know it'll reflect in their words? How do you know a person who's poor in spirit? How will you know if you're one? I have a very simple way. Listen to yourself talk. Just listen to yourself. I said 1,000 words today. What did you say? Listen to yourself. You'll figure out whether you're poor in spirit, depending on, it's very clear, isn't it, when you listen to yourself. I listen to myself. I go, oh, my gosh, how far am I from you, God? All I do is listen to myself, and I go, you don't have hardly any faith here. I just listen to yourself, because you'll figure it out whether you're poor in spirit. Because if you start talking, me, I, I'll do this, I'll do, you're not poor in spirit. You're living for yourself. Wow. You know, I call it the language of the poor in spirit. And boy, do I love people who talk this way.